turf, plus Gosford guineas for the sprinters. Race morning at 10. Catch the full Gosford preview on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio has On The Pace every Tuesday at 10:30.
And we also have Chasing and Pacing Rewind from 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Now for the Pacing Rewind segment, Andrew Bensley's with me. And Benz, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Simon. Good to talk to you and everyone around our harness racing fraternity at this time every Sunday. And we had some good action last night down at Wagga. They had the Christmas Cup, the last meeting, Simon, at the showgrounds. They've raced there for a very long period, and they had their last meeting before they moved to their new track, which we'll talk about shortly. But they had the Christmas Cup. Red River Glacier won by a long margin, rating 157.7 to win that, near enough to favourite. And at Maitland, we had the heats of the Inner City Cup. This is around the 56th running of this series, and we had races dominated by favourites last night. Pocket of Terror won the first heat. Bennelong Valley, Persimmon and a Shark. It upset the favourite. That was the heat that caused the upset last night. A Shark showing good gate speed, getting to the lead and holding off the favourite, the Bus. It won at $4.40. We've got the big final at Maitland this Saturday night coming, and the draw will come out for the Group 3 final. So that was the main action last night at Maitland and Wagga Wagga.
Righto, Ben, through the week we've had the news from Harness Racing New South Wales that there'll be prize money increases, and particularly with the Miracle Mile next year.
Yeah, look, it's been fantastic. The announcements that we've seen around New South Wales racing, the three racing codes, we should be very proud. And as I said during the week, if you were thinking about being a participant in harness racing, right now's the time, because we've seen grassroots prize money step up. Now we're seeing the Miracle Mile become a $1 million race in March of next year. And I presume John Dumsney is online, the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales.
Yeah, John is joining us now. John, good morning.
Good morning, Simon and Andrew.
John, we've got a few days to sort of get through it. And, you know, after the announcements were made midweek, I mean, the reaction obviously has been very positive around the Ainsworth Miracle Mile.
Certainly has, Andrew. Why it's been positive is because it's a collaborative. It's a collaborative between the club, who have been working towards this $1 million race for a really long time. And the fact that the Newcastle Mile, a race that had dropped away, drifted away a little bit, has now been brought out back into the fold. It will be, for the first time ever, a $100,000 event, and it is an automatic qualifier to the Miracle Mile.
So on that, let's start around the Newcastle Mile, because as you're right, there's been, you know, maybe in the last 2 or 3 years, the quality of that race has probably just dropped off a little bit. But next year on February 8th, this Newcastle Mile, the winner gets an automatic invite into the big one, the Miracle Mile.
Yeah, and basically that's the first time ever that that's occurred. The drop-off was part because the movement of the Miracle Mile into the March period, where it stays now. But, yes, the fact that previously the directors of the New South Wales Harness Racing Club, Club Menangle, would go to Newcastle, see what the quality of the horses were, and there were some very good horses racing at Newcastle, and then use their discretionary power to make an invitation to the race. Well, now trainers and owners can go there knowing they perform on the night, first across the line, and they're automatically into the Miracle Mile. And at $1 million, it's certainly something you want to be in.
It will be. Now, can you outline the detail of this with the Newcastle Mile? So we're saying it's an automatic invitation into the Miracle Mile. The Newcastle Mile winner, does it run again, or can it run before the Miracle Mile?
No, it can't. And that was one of the conditions that we worked through with the club. And the reason is that history shows us that horses invited early into the Miracle Mile have a great advantage out of those that have to battle it out in qualifying races. So it the horses take their chance, they get the invitation. They can certainly go and to races, not races, to trials, and certainly be kept fit. But it might be the perfect opportunity from a horse from say, Victoria. The trainer can come up, they can prepare their horse, they can hopefully win the race, and then they can go home and they're in the comforts of their own environment and just get ready for that one crack at $1 million.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I, you know, listening to that, John, is that it may suit the interstater if they're fortunate enough to win Newcastle. They've got then the 3 or 4 weeks they can go back home and do what they'd normally do in preparation for a Group 1.
Freshen up. Remembering the following week, the four-year-olds race in the Chariots of Fire. Now, the winner of that gets an automatic invitation into the Miracle Mile and can't race again. So they get the freshen up. And then the next week, you've got both sprints. You've got the Allied Express and the Canadian Club. Well, those horses will be running a very tough race the week before the Miracle Mile. And it has been demonstrated that over the years, that's not the the best outcome. We've seen, and I go back a few years, where horses invited earlier were the winners of the Miracle Mile. Now, those horses which were invited earlier, I must also say, were generally the best pick of the crop, the best of the best.
Yeah, understand. It's interesting you mentioned the Chariots of Fire, because we've seen some four-year-olds step through the recent Inter-Dominion down in Victoria that, well, they're going to be genuine Chariots of Fire runners next year.
They will be, and the history of the Chariots of Fire was it was created to basically give four-year-olds an opportunity to race for good money without contesting the Inter-Dominion of that year. Well, these horses have contested an Inter-Dominion, an earlier Inter-Dominion than what was previously held. So their form will really stack up, and it's stacked up in that Inter-Dominion. We're breeding far superior horses, far faster horses than what we were a few decades ago, and they're stronger as well. And the training methods, track improvements certainly help them.
Yeah, for sure. The TAB have got all pre-nom markets open, and I stress they're pre-nom, so a refund is there if horses aren't nominated when we get to that stage. But I think it tells us just how strong the Chariots will be. I'm Pat's delight there is with Spankham, who we both saw come through the Inter-Dominion, Turn It Up. Ignatius is their poster boy for the Tonkin Stewart team out of Victoria. And you've got others that will obviously, you know, Chase Auckland is there in the market as well. So I think that just tells us just how strong that race will be on February 16. I mean, we talk about next year, John, but we're nearly there, aren't we? I mean, it won't be long before these horses are at least back in work or trialling into these good races.
Yes, certainly those Inter-Dominion horses would have had a freshen up. There's one horse I think you missed there, Colt 49 from Queensland.
Yes, yep.
Kevin Seymour's horse, he thinks he's across the line already. I've told Mr. Seymour there's one or two more races he has to contest before he does that. But still, it's a great field. But if we could get just those that you named, plus the Queenslander in, you've got almost a Miracle Mile race itself.
Yeah, exactly. Colt 31, there it is at $15 in the pre-nom market for the Chariots of Fire. We're talking with John Dumsey, the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales. John, talking with Rod Smith and the team through the week after this announcement, he was very much talking about grassroots. And I want to go to Wagga because I know you spent some time there during the week. And last night they had their last meeting after, I think, about 60 years at the showgrounds. They're very close to launching off on a brand new track.
They are March 10. And the winner of the main race last night went 157. It served the area well, that track, but this new track at Wagga, the 157 will soon turn into a 155, 154, and there's a significant breeding nursery in the Riverina,
yep.
And we will be able to see those horses, those really well-bred horses, race to their optimum on a fantastic track at a facility that really the public deserve. No disrespect to the showground, but 65 years, next Tuesday I think it is, would have been the anniversary there. This is the new facility, and it, like Bathurst, the work that was done at Bathurst, will attract new people to the to harness racing in that area.
And for people that may not be aware of the new track, I know it's been in the pipeline. I'd say, well, I'm going to say personally, I reckon it's 4 or 5 years, but it could be even longer dealing with council and getting to this stage. But tell us what the track is. How big is it, John, when you say that the mile rates and the condition of the surface and things are going to improve the times?
It's 1,070 metres, this track. and it's wider. It'll take 8 across the front, 12 horse fields. The surface is similar to what we have at other places where there's plenty of cushion on it. So it's giving us everything that we need.
Okay, and there will be a couple of, I know March 10 is the official launch. They're just going to have a couple of soft meetings to prepare it for that over the next couple of months?
That certainly is our plan, Andrew. Trials and soft meetings where we can. The whole, when we were there during the week, the advancement from you know, month to month, we go down monthly on the buildings is quite significant, and we're very comfortable that we've got a timeline that we can really meet.
Understand. Tamworth has undergone some work. I'm just picking out areas that I know about, John, but if there's others that you want to pass on, please do. But Tamworth is undergoing a lot of changes there as well. I know our race callers that go there are in a brand new broadcast box, and there's stabling being done there as well.
Yes, there is, Andrew. It was a decision we had to make with Tamworth. Do we build at Tamworth a new complex, or do we stay where we are when at the showground when the opportunity came up? The opportunity did come up. It came up at a very, very realistic price or cost to the industry, so we did take that up. Old facility, very old facility that needed some work, and we have committed $2 million to putting a roof on the stables. That's now complete. A new officials pod, where the broadcasters, the stewards and the judges are, and also improvements to the on-course stabling. Now, when we took over that facility, there were 14 horses stabled there. There is now more than 50 horses. So we haven't done a great deal of work with the stables yet. That will continue on. But what we have done is been able to put a full-time track curator in there. He works on the track, and we've also put in a new track inside the racetrack for them to jog their horses on. So what we're looking for in Tamworth is an opportunity to horses, and I'll be quite open with this, that aren't making it somewhere else in the stronger areas of Bathurst and Wagga and Sydney, of course, for them to have somewhere to go.
Okay, I understand. That's good news. Are there any other tracks that you're looking at, John, that you're looking at upgrading through 2019?
Certainly. These are minor upgrades. I won't name them because...
they may not know yet.
Well, no, the others that aren't on that list might want to get on Santa's wish list all of a sudden. But anyone's open to put up a proposal to do improvements to tracks because tracks are the very, very essence of our industry in that if they aren't good tracks, we can't provide... places for them to race and for horses to have good equine health. We can't afford to have horses breaking down. As we know, the breeding industry has done it tough in New South Wales during this drought. So we need to keep horses racing fit and sound.
Understand. One track that I'm only mindful of this because of this week coming up, but they race tomorrow and then they race next Sunday afternoon, and that's Goulburn. They seem to be a progressive club with the amount of, you know, they've got extra or appear to have extra, a few extra tab meetings per year. Tell us a little bit about Goulburn, John.
Well, Goulburn's very interesting. It's ideally located to capture the horses from the Sydney area and also Canberra and a little bit further out west at Young and can provide for everything. It's a fantastic racing surface. It's a 1,000-metre track. But we have other plans, which we haven't revealed yet, for down there in the Wagga region because of its location. So Mark Croato and his team, they work very, very hard on their meetings. They only have 10 a year, but certainly there's a place in the future for them.
Yeah, for sure. That's at Goulburn. Now, Boxing Day night on Wednesday, there are three New South Wales meetings, and the big one is at Bathurst. It's the annual Boxing Day night meeting there, the Shirley Turnbull Memorial. It's always stated on this night, and it's always a very successful one for people out in that area.
It certainly is, and when you look at the Shirley Turnbull Memorial this year, I'm reasonably sure there's four horses which contested the Inter-Dominion running in that race. So it shows the depth of quality of horses which will go to a very good track, and that's Bathurst, of course. The Shirley Turnbull Memorial carries $50,000, so that certainly helps a little bit when attracting the owners. But no, it's a strong meeting. There's nine races there. It's part of our TAB Carnival Cups program. So it those meetings are always well supported. There's another meeting, a lesser meeting, at Dubbo on the same night. And, of course, we go to Leeton, where there's a very strong nine-race program down there. So it really, harness racing in New South Wales really becomes active during this Christmas New Year period. You've already mentioned the Intercity Pace Final. There's a double-header meeting at Parkes on, I think, the 29th and the 31st. And, of course, we're back to Leeton on the 1st of January. So it's just racing, racing, racing. But the fields will be strong and the competition also will be there to really expose harness racing in the light it should be exposed.
And you mentioned that Shirley Turnbull. Our stars, Joe Star of Me is there for Steve Turnbull. Our triple play, Village Witch, Celestial Arden are some of the main hopes there. And I know the Butts have got a runner in the race too that they're very keen about, already thinking about a Miracle Mile when we spoke to Tim back on Thursday morning. Hey, Aubrey, I want to mention Aubrey. It's down on the border. We have sometimes the tendency of forgetting them, but they always have an unbelievable New Year's Eve program, don't they, down there?
Strong races, but the Aubrey Club has put on for the wider community of Aubrey-Wodonga, the fireworks. This is crucial, or integral rather, to the community affairs of the Aubrey Council. Sue Vandervan and her team, they do a great job. It's a massive crowd, just massive. I was there last year, and you're flat out getting a seat. So it's just what they do. It's not the meeting will be good. We put restrictions on in New South Wales through this last year through some unfortunate occurrences where the last race must be conducted by 10:30. But Aubrey have been thought outside the circle, and they need to race up to about 11 o'clock because the fireworks don't go off until midnight to bring in the new year. So they're putting race on purely for local horses, local trainers and local drivers. So that's the progressive thinking of that club.
Yeah, for sure. That's always a huge one, New Year's Eve down at Albury. Hey, John, it's been good to talk to you about everything that's gone on around Miracle Mile, but around the state as well, because I know you've been, looking at prize money ranks through the year with grassroots prize money kicking up and now the Miracle Mile and the like. I'm going to ask a question that you may not want to answer, but could there be further announcements made for harness racing enthusiasts on a positive note in the next, couple of months?
Everything's positive in New South Wales, Andrew, but if I can reflect back a little bit, the announcement of the $250,000 for the Miracle Mile, I can say it's just a drop in the ocean, in respect of what we've done this year. We've actually delivered $5 million to the industry in 2018. Grassroots in particular, with the 20% increase from the $5,000 to the $6,000 races, but across the board there was $5 million. So the $250,000, it's fantastic. We've got $1 million Miracle Mile, but it's only a small part of it. So the rest of the industry really got the bulk of it. I think about 2019, what we may do there, we're certainly looking at issues. We've got, let's say, three or four in the pipeline that will be well received and will cross the entire spectrum of horses if they come off. So it's not just the horses at the top end of the scale, it's horses from MOs, COs upwards. So we have a fantastic reward series which deliver horses which are generally got a limited ability and limited career opportunity. I must say that 2019 could be not better than 2018.
All right. Well, we're excited about that 2019, looking at a number of initiatives. John, we thank you for your time. Have a safe few days over the Christmas New Year period, and we thank you for coming on this morning.
Thank you, Andrew. To you and yours, and Simon sitting there just taking this all in. He's probably going to buy a trotter for Christmas.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't have too much luck with them.
No, well, we're going to have to think about it because I'll tell you something. We've got to get a Miracle Mile horse. That's easier said than done, I know, but we're going to have to chase something. But, John, we thank you, mate. Have a good few days. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, and same to everyone.
Good on you, John. That line just got there, Simon. It was getting a bit scratchy in the end, but whatever reason, but we got there with John. So that's great news for the Miracle Mile, but it sounds like there are a number of initiatives that Harness Racing New South Wales is looking at in 2019, Simon. So that's it for Pacing Rewind this morning.
Good on you, Ben. Have a great day on Tuesday.
We will, mate. Just a little quiet one. We'll be on air tomorrow with a bit more at 9 o'clock, but you have a... Tuesday as well.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andrew.
Thanks, Simon.
Now it's 10 to 11 and coming up this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind with Michael Cowley.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world.
But Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
So the focus on greyhound racing and Mick Cowley, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Mate, we might have to get you you and Andrew perhaps a dog that you can chase the million-dollar chase with as well.
Yeah, well, I just need the money first, Mick. But anyway, I'm sure there'd be a few cheapies going around. How was Wentworth Park last night?
Well, it was good. It was a good night of racing. We obviously lost a few races on Wednesday night due to the storms, but full program last night and some good quality events with some good results for punters as well.
And we had Casino heated off on Friday, I think, temperatures over 40.
Yeah, we did. It's under the hot weather policy. Decision was made by the commission stewards very early on that we pulled the pin on Casino because rather than wait until the day and everyone make their way there, gave them a bit of early notice and pulled the pin on the Friday meeting. Unfortunate, but just one of those things. It's all about welfare first, as you well know, Simon.
So is that likely to be just an abandoned meeting or do you look at postponing that?
It has been, I think it has been abandoned, unfortunately, one of those things, but that's the nature of greyhound racing, day racing, particularly up in the Northern Rivers when we do get into the midst of summer.
Righto, Mick, we'll take a look at what's happened over the last 7 days in the world of greyhound racing. We've got a replay here from Wentworth Park last night when Blue Moon Rising took out the fourth.
Racing finale come out okay. Zombie flew the boxes. Now Blue Moon Rising going to settle last and Zombie leads out of the straight from Reader's Boy finale. Around them goes Zebzar Mooney and Blue Moon Rising just starting to tag on back behind them. Going down the back and the leader is Zombie led by four finale. Blue Moon Rising working into it. Two away Reader's Boy and Zebzar Mooney. Zombie in front. Finale about to go past it. Blue Moon Rising's come to the outside. Blue Moon Rising swept up, went straight past finale and Blue Moon Rising too good for finale. Third home Zombie from Rio's Boy.
The Blue Moon Rising there for John Finning. Finn winning the free-for-all, defeating the $1.50 favourite finale. Mick?
Mate, unbelievable, this actual litter. Yeah, Blue Moon Rising's part of that wonderful Fernando Bale Chicadesta Carter litter. It's a stayer. It's been racing over the longer trips, but there were no staying events scheduled for Wentworth Park last night, so trainer John Finn decided to put both Blue Moon Rising and its litter mate, Veloce Nero, into sprinting events, and Blue Moon Rising comes out and runs 29.58, the best of the night, and slashes 0.3 off its personal best as well. And Veloce Nero, it narrowly missed in another race, another sprint race as well. Got beaten in a photo as well. So it's an incredible litter. I was just looking at that litter today. As I said, it's the four racing dogs out of that litter. You've got Poco Dorado, the superstar stay. You've got Blue Moon Rising, Veloce Nero, and two times twice the sprinter as well. So between them, they've won 70 races and to touch over $550,000 in prize money. It's just a remarkable thing. I guess it shows. Chicadesta Carter at National Sprint Champion, second in a Melbourne Cup, and we all know what Fernando Bale could do. I guess it just shows that sometimes when you do put good bloodlines to good bloodlines, this is what you do end up with, and certainly the owners are reaping the rewards, that's for sure.
And they look to have a good year coming up with Blue Moon Rising next year. Earlier in the week, Mick, we had the Lismore Maiden Final on, which was on Tuesday night. Let's take in a replay here of That's Little Bob's Win.
Green light, race 7, Lismore, the Maiden Final, it's over the fourth. It's set now. Provoker, Smooth Act was last away and List Little Bob is flying out wide, went to an early leader into second. He said one on the track then with Ripple Rumble, followed the inside by Provoker. Knocked out of it there was Murphy Rumble. Smooth Act's a minute back in the inside. Tabby Track as well back. And so too off the track with Sandav Diva on the side. That's Little Bob is low flying in front. Provoker runs on and so too does Ripple Rumble. It's all That's Little Bob. Beat Provoker the inside and out wide on the track then. Rumble.
So started the $2.40 favourite there. That's all Bob for Dave Irwin. Defeating Provoker and grabbing third there, Mick, was Ripple Rumble.
It's pretty impressive, the performances of That Little Bob through the series. Yeah, ran 23.66 in the final, which was the quickest of heat and semi. I think he ran 23.8 in the heat and the semi. Dave Irwin, obviously a name in the sport, has been around for a long time, had a lot of very good dogs. And Dave, whilst keeping cards close to the chest, I do believe he has a very good opinion of this one. They didn't actually start racing until he was 30 months old to give him a bit of time to mature and so forth. But apparently Dave said he's confident that slowly he'll work him up to 500 and he thinks he'll get a good 500. So that could be one to keep an eye on way down the track, Simon.
Okay, so that was Lismore last Tuesday. On Thursday last week, we had the Sky Racing Hobart 1000 final on. Jason Lincoln was down there reporting for Sky Racing, and we'll take in the replay here. The feature race won by Leroy Rogue at Big Odds.
2018 Sky Racing Hobart 1000 green light. Ready. Away they go. Pico Can fairly away. Got to be UK Mao flying. Pico Can getting up along the inside. Leroy Rogue. Leroy's found the lead from Pico Can. Despacito running third. Trouble back in the field. Orson Allen got checked and well back is Stop Line and Be Like Bill. Leroy Rogue in front. Pico Can's the only danger, but Leroy's going strongly. Oh, Leroy! Leroy takes the 1,000 by four. Pico Can, Despacito. Then Huxley followed in by...
So Cole McNiff there firstly sounded surprised that it got to the front. Mick and then sound very happy it paid $18. He must have had something on.
I was going to say, the voice in that call, as you said, he was surprised at... very happy when it got to the front, and the way he called the finish, he didn't sound disappointed that the one chance was winning, did he?
So it was unexpected there for Leroy Rogue to do that from box three.
It was. He's been a grand campaigner. It's originally from Queensland. He's been down in Tasmania for quite some time now, racing down there for Debbie Kennan. It was Leroy's 43rd win from 70 starts, which is a phenomenal record, really. And the $75,000 first prize money actually doubled his career earnings. Not bad to win half your prize money in one race.
Well, the Hobart 1000, that's obviously one of their big races. Where are those greyhounds likely to head to next? Is there another feature in Tasmania just around the corner?
No, there's nothing spectacular coming up in Tasmania. Obviously, over the Christmas period, we do tail off a little bit, but then there are some features in Victoria coming up in February, and obviously we have a few features in New South Wales as well. We have the Outpours of Thunder in January as well. So there's a little bit around. It's a quiet time over these next 2 weeks, but then we start to hot up again, Simon. And as you said, quite a few of those dogs that were down there for that were Victorians that crossed the Bass Strait to get into those races. I think crossing a Bass Strait will be a lot easier for those greyhounds than it will be for the yachts in the next couple of days.
Yes, absolutely. Now, looking ahead to Wentworth Park Wednesday on Boxing Day, there are preludes of the National Derby and Futurity to be run.
There is indeed, there's a couple of preludes, one of the Derby and one of the Futurity. Those heats of both those features will be held on the 25th of January. It'll be a Friday night meeting at Wentworth Park that week, Saturday obviously being Australia Day. I think Richmond is the main meeting on the Saturday, but on that Friday there will be heats for the Futurity and the Derby. These preludes, there's one greyhound in the Futurity that I think a lot of people are very keen to see. It's drawn the eight. It's a dog called Jack High. It's trained by a former South Sydney player, John Hurd, who actually returned to training after unfortunately having to have a leg amputated 7-8 months ago, and John wanted to get back into greyhound training, and he has. And this one, Jack High, she's had three starts for him for two wins and two runs back, clocked amazing 29.22 at the Gardens, which is only like 6/100ths outside the track record that's held by Jason McKay, Zipping Bailey. So this one, Jack High's got a bit of ability. It'd be worth having a look on Wednesday night just to see how quick she goes.
Okay, so a good card coming up Wednesday. Tonight, Mick, we've got heats of the Gosford Gold Cup on. The first of a 10-race car getting underway at 5:42. And in the first of those heats, Federal Lily's going around, I've noticed.
Indeed. Yeah, the Young Star Classic winner from back in October. Her form's tapered off a little bit, but she is going around in that heat. They're fantastic heats. The four heats, the 32 dogs in the heats are quite amazing, really. And in that first one, Sky Wave, who obviously finished third in the Million Dollar Chase and was New South Wales National Sprint representative earlier in the year, drawn box two. Yeah.